Let's turn together to read from the scripture of the Psalm 16.
Brati naša, da se čita s Božji pomoć iz knjige Psalma 16. Psalam. Psalm 16.
Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. But to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord bless the word. May we all bow before him in prayer. David's psalm and prayer, as he pens the words inspired by the Holy Spirit, words of yearning for God, words of prophecy, words of truth. He holds in his hand and he beholds in his heart an inheritance and a cup and a heritage. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. David knew the Lord, and he sought after the heart of God. And he had the blessing of knowing the Lord as the portion of his inheritance. He had the Lord as his cup, that which satisfied his thirst and refreshed him in this life. And this blessing of the heritage of God is a possession of each of God's children. And this hope and blessing speaks and calls out to everyone who does not have a hope in this world. We have prayed for those and acknowledged that there are some who have left their homes and left their lands. They have been taken away. And David was the youngest of 8 children. What expectation would he have of the land and inheritance? But his hope and his expectation was in his Lord. He desired the fellowship. He knew that that was more precious than the earthly possessions. And the Word of God that invites man to have fellowship with him calls to everyone who is void of these earthly blessings and offers them freely to those who would believe, those who have no expectation of the gain of this world. There is a hope in God that shines as a bright beacon. He asks the Lord to preserve him. David was a man who was pursued by enemies. He was pursued by Saul. He was pursued by Absalom. He was pursued by those who were jealous and envied him. For those that are pursued by your enemy. For we all have an enemy of our souls. The Word calls to us and said that there is a portion, there is an inheritance, there is a cup reserved. And it is the Lord Himself. He is the one who we expect to spend eternity with, brothers and sisters, who we hope for in heaven. And what is heaven above without him but a deserted banquet hall? What is eternity without the blessing of the truth of God and the fellowship with our Creator? What is this earth alone without God? A dreary vale, a desert. But the Lord is offering his cup of refreshing, his cup of contentment and satisfying to our souls. And the things that he offers are beautiful and valuable, and they are well known to us. But there are some things about an heritage that we must know and that we must keep in our mind firmly. A heritage is something that we receive. The things that you make or that I invent or come up with, they're not a heritage. A heritage is something that we receive. And so we can take no pride in our heritage. We can be thankful. We can be appreciative. We can devote our lives to preserving and nurturing the heritage that we have received in the Scriptures, the heritage of knowing the Lord, the heritage of following Jesus Christ, the heritage of the body of faith and life that we have received. But we cannot be proud of it because it was not ours to begin with. It is not a source of boasting on our part, but a reason for humility, that God in his goodness and his kindness has shown to us the grace and mercy to extend his loving hand, that we who were without him, we who had left him, who hated his word and hated his life and hated his teachings, that he was patient with us and he gave us opportunity to repent. And he invited us to receive his inheritance through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what we are talking about. We are talking about the spiritual heritage that has come to us through Jesus Christ. Peter knew that this psalm, David was speaking of Christ. In the last few verses, he says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And on the day of Pentecost, as Peter was explaining to the people how God had blessed them with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking the wonderful works of God in languages that the people who had come to Jerusalem for the feast could understand, that they could be blessed, explained that Jesus Christ was the one who is being spoken of here, whose soul was not left in the earth and did not suffer corruption, but did rise again and left the empty tomb and had left promises, having taken captivity captive and given gifts to men, offered a promise to the men and the women that were there, who would receive the promises that were left for them, who would take up the inheritance. And he also told them, in many words, to save themselves from this untoward generation, because they were being called to a kingdom, to an inheritance of a kingdom, not of this world, not of the sin of this world, not in the practices and the culture that defines a nation or a language or a people, but to a life in Jesus Christ that defines the people of God. And this is a goodly heritage. It is a blessing. And we can put all of the wonderful accolades and praise it, but it will do us no good if we do not receive and embrace it. See, a heritage is something that we receive. But a heritage also is necessarily something that is embraced and passed on. If it is not embraced and passed on, it ceases to be a heritage. It ceases to be an inheritance. It is something, the world gives a definition to cultural heritage that I found quite startling. That it is something defined by society. And I thought that sounds kind of new age. But as I thought about it more, I realized, yes, it's true. Your heritage of your spiritual life is defined by what you embrace and pass on. If you do not embrace what God has left in the Scripture for you to follow, then it is no longer your heritage. It is just the things that the older generations did, and it becomes tradition and history. It is no longer your heritage. A heritage is a good thing, but it is only good, and it can only provide the blessing when we embrace it, when we hold it as our own, and when we cherish it enough to preserve it and to pass it on. Even as Apostle Paul instructed Timothy, teach faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Holding forth the word of life in this sin-darkened world, we must embrace for our own and not simply give the characteristics of Christians good names and blessings, and it's a wonderful thing. We will show how wonderful and how blessed it is by our lives. This is illustrated in how the world takes care of their heritages. In 1975, the UN set up a body of people that would designate title to a place, a World Heritage Center. And they were given the charge to review what places, whether natural resources or places of cultural interest, what could be deemed as a World Heritage Center, and they were given the job to give it a name and give it a plaque and put that this is a World Heritage Center. And they get about $4 million a year. That's pretty much a drop in the bucket for the UN's budget. And the plaque actually doesn't do very much. Oh, people might get tourisms and they look at it, but it's the responsibility of the country where that heritage site is located to take care of it, to preserve it, to do the legwork of keeping it and teaching what the significance of that place is. We can put fine names and speak glowing things about the Christian life, but it is up to us not to be content with a plaque or a remembrance of a dedication of my heart or remembrance of a baptism and an event and a ceremony that took place, but to make the investment to preserve, to embrace, and to pass on the living Word of God. There are examples of heritages in the Scripture that were lost. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. And through subtlety, Satan deceived them to believe that the Word of God was not reliable. And they were cast out of that good place. David also felt that he had a goodly heritage. And yet his ability to share that was limited by his sin as he caused the nations to blaspheme. And what happens over time with Solomon, as he makes a good beginning and then fails to embrace and hold on to what he received and begin serving at the idols of all of the people of the nations round about him. What happens? His son Rehoboam takes the throne and there is a civil war. Because he forgets to listen and he fails to embrace. And the land is divided, the kingdom is torn asunder. Heritages can be precious, but if they are not embraced, they're not passed on, if they're not understood as a precious gift that we've received and can take no glory in for ourselves, but know that they will bring the blessing of God's presence, eternal life, and the greatest existence that we can have on this side of heaven, to pass it along to our children, can easily be lost. The Israelites at Jesus' time did not feel this way. They were proud of the nation that they were able to bring back together. They were settling in their land. They were making an identity for themselves. They were making a nation that they hoped would be the praise of the world, that they hoped to preserve. Jesus told them that they were like husbandmen, that were charged to take care of their inheritance, but that they would have it removed from them. And the inheritance would be given to a nation bringing the fruits thereof, to give God's inheritance, lip service, without giving him our heart and embracing him and loving his word and his commands, will yield emptiness and loss. But Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. The preciousness of the inheritance that we have in the Lord and how much we value the Lord is shown by how we have a singular focus for God and a desire for him. Jesus even said that if your eye be single, your body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? David says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. We have one Lord. We are to have no divided allegiances. And David says, my goodness extendeth not to thee. My goodness is nothing apart from the Lord. We must acknowledge that we need him. He is our light. He is our all. He is the one that brings us the hope of salvation. And we are nothing without him. And so our souls must cleave to him as if a man would holding onto a life preserver in the midst of a choppy ocean where there is no hope of salvation apart from that. The preciousness of the heritage of the Lord is shown by the singleness of heart that we express in our love and obedience, in our desire to cultivate that relationship of closeness and dependence. How much we realize that without him, we truly are nothing. David says that his delight is in the saints, in those that love the Lord. And Jesus also told us that our love should extend to the children of God and to the smallest and the least in his kingdom. He has promised that those who have visited, those who have fed, those who have clothed, the least of these, my brethren, they have done it unto me. And he will say to those that are in his right hand, enter into the joy of thy Lord and receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God. David says that their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. David recognized that as the idols increase, it is a reflection of our desires. My friend, your desires will lead you somewhere. They will lead to sorrow if they are not desires for the Lord and desire for him and to possess him and to be refreshed by him. Your desires will be taken advantage of by Satan, where he will bring a temptation and he will cause your desire and the temptation to conceive and to bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it will bring forth your death. And mine, if we are not watchful, if we are not careful, if we do not have a singleness of heart to desire only him, we are in great danger. And we have great enemies. But the word of God is true. And David gives us an example that we come to the Lord to seek him for his strength to preserve us in those times, to help us, and to put our trust fully in him, to abide in him, in that contentment and joy that knows no reliance upon the things of this earth and the deceptions that this world gives and the other allegiances that could come. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the people are warned about this, where the Lord warns them in the first 14 verses of this chapter and instructs them, when you go into the land that I've promised you, this place of inheritance, there must be a change in how the worship and how the living take place. Right now, that land is full of idols, it's full of groves, it's full of places where people can offer incense to their false gods. But when you enter your inheritance, when you change, when you cross over, it will not be like this with you. I will ordain you a place where you are to bring your sacrifices, where you are to bring your tithes, your offerings, and your vows and freewill offerings and firstlings of your herds and your flocks. God will define the mode of worship and the place of worship. And he says, And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. There are multiple sorrows to the gods that are of this world because they feed on our desires to satisfy ourselves. And Satan takes advantage of that to bring us death and sin and agony and destruction. But Jesus is given as a fulfillment of all of the things that are taught in the law, of the place where we find our mercy, of the sacrifice that is given, of the one that gave his all, the one that is the first and the last. And now we, who enter into a new covenant with him, God also tells us, life cannot be the same. You cannot go and sacrifice and live and worship just as your heart pleases. You must come through Jesus Christ. You must be obedient to him. You must accept the things that he accepts, and you must reject the things that he despises. It cannot be any other way. And when you do, when you have that singleness of heart to embrace and hold to him that you have received, you will find joy in everything that you set your hand to do, because your heart and your mind and your life is thoroughly given to him, yielded to him, so that he can give you purpose for your daily tasks, for the life that you live, for your eternity that you hope for. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, where every man whatsoever doeth whatsoever is right in his own eyes. David says, because of this inheritance, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. God has set forth for us a way. Though straight and narrow, though filled with its share of hardships and difficulties, but where our heart can be glad, where our flesh can rest in hope. You might say, well, I'm not one who can't say that I don't have anything in this world. I'm expecting maybe something. Or you might say, I'm not the one that's being chased. The things are pretty good. But you need to ask yourself the question. How strong are the things that you are relying on? How sure? How much peace do they give in the night when all is quiet and the thoughts arise in your hearts? about what will happen if you do not wake up. Let us bless the Lord. He has given us counsel. He has instructed us in the ways that please Him. As we give our hearts over to Him, He says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Our hearts that are transformed by the Holy Spirit can speak to us, can instruct us. As we listen to the Holy Spirit in those quiet moments where we need to hear His still small voice, giving us the confidence to go on, to hold on, to love and to endure, He's able to provide all that we're needing. What do I hold as my heritage? What have I received that is so precious that I am willing to embrace and pass on? What have I found great blessing in? It is the Lord. It is His ways. May we be encouraged and challenged by the psalm and the prayer of David as he pours out his heart, to let the Lord seek and to know, have I found that pearl of great price? Do I know what He's talking about? Do I have that same expectation? And is it bearing the fruit in my life? God has given us a blessed hope, one that says our existence goes beyond this earthly experience, and that those who are God's children by faith, who abide in the faith, who do not turn their lives over to sin, but have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, that they will be with the Lord forever. Let us take from Jesus His example. Was He not also looking to the fellowship with His Father each and every day? Did that not preserve Him in His manner of life? Will that not also preserve us as we look to Him, hoping in expectation? Let us look to Jesus. Let us not leave a promise on the table that He has offered for our good and our blessing. We know His word. But it is our responsibility to take it, make it our own, embrace it, and pass it along. And the Lord will see how we have occupied our time. May He bless the efforts. May He bless each one whose heart is fixed upon Him. He will hold and preserve His own. And for that we give Him all the thanks, all the praise, now and forevermore. Amen.
In the hymn that we opened with, we asked the Lord for His love and grace, that we would feel it. We heard it in the message today, and the brother also reiterated it in the prayer. As love and grace had gone forth, there are those here who will receive it, who have felt it. And it's going to create a change. Even as was mentioned in the prayer again, that when we leave here, we need to leave having felt His love and grace. And a result of that, There's a change that takes place within us. It brings us closer to Him. Is that the case? And there are some who will not, who did not feel that at all today. There are those who will not feel it. Their heart wasn't ready. They didn't want Him. And we don't want Him, you cannot receive Him. And David goes in here and he speaks of being with Him, what it means. And he talks about also, he says, "Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee." He said, you don't need my goodness. You don't need that. Because Jesus Himself says, there is none good except God. So what does He want from me? He's going to look at your merits and my merits and say, oh, this man is worthy of me. He extends His love and grace to all who will receive Him. Will you receive Him today? That's for those of us who are born again and those of us who are not. It's for all of us. Will we leave here empowered by His Holy Spirit? Otherwise, as was mentioned in prayer, it's in the air. You have to receive it. You have to receive it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He talks about a resurrection that was so foreign in the Old Testament times. And David placed his trust in thee. He says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He's talking about his own body. You're not going to leave it there. You're going to raise it up. And he said, even of Jesus, who he's foretelling what will take place. In his time, it was only prophesied. And he says, thou will not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. There is a resurrection, dear ones. Will we be in that number? And it says here, how are we going to know that? He says, to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is my delight. Is our delight with the saints? As we have gathered together, brothers and sisters, is this our delight to be together with one another? What does John say? John in his epistle says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How? He says, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's simple. His love and grace went out. Did we feel it? By God's grace, dear ones, let us open our hearts to receive Him, to be that new man that He is looking for from each one of us, empowered by His Spirit. May God bless His word in this day in our hearts. Amen.